Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on the Thursday Conversation, a guy by the name of Jamie Otis smashed Donald Trump's Hollywood star fame, you know, his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and all that crap. Why he did it, what's behind it, and much, much more. Also, you gotta love those tolerant liberals. There is actually proof that the election is being rigged, or is it, as liberals would call it, it's a computer glitch. It's a glitch in the system. Don't worry, we'll just put that one aside, and before you know it, they won't have anything to vote for, and then we'll have to do it on a piece of paper, and don't worry, they'll just throw them in the garbage anyways. Tolerant liberals, they need to go to the, what was that South Park episode? It was like the House of Tolerance. Then when they get outside, they're like, you dang smoker, get out of here. Anyways. Also, was Obama's White House BlackBerry, was that able to receive emails and stuff from Hillary Clinton's private server? Yes, it was. We believe so. Emails kind of back that up. Also, Michigan Township banned Syrian refugees over vetting concerns. Thank God. And also, it's going to happen in Michigan, but also, it's going to be a big thing in Michigan because, oh dear, Arby's has a venison burger. Will it be served nationwide or will the test market fall short? I'll get into that and much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of, folks. John 16, verse 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I have overcome the world. Think about that as you're going through day to day and welcome. And I got to apologize first to my wife because she's getting sick now, and I gave it to her, and it's just going around. It's just one big thing, you know, my best man, he's sick in Michigan, so whatever it is, it's just going around, you know. Maybe if she had acupuncture, it'd go away, you know. She hates needles, so that's why. But this is crazy, folks. I couldn't sleep last night for like an hour, and I'll tell you why. What is going on with America? My wife brought up the question that I've been kind of pondering. Take a Donald Trump flag. Take a Donald Trump banner. Take a Donald Trump sign out of the yard. What does that accomplish? Am I magically going to go, poof? Wow, I have no Donald. Who was that? Who was I voting for? Let me see here. Gary Johnson, Clinton, no, I forget. I guess I'm just gonna, don't worry, the voting machine will choose for you anyways. It already is in Texas and a couple other states, but like, what's gonna change? Like, someone's gonna, they took my Trump sign that I had in my yard, they took it out, now I can't vote for him. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know what the point is. If there's a liberal out there listening or someone out there, text me, write me on my Facebook page, call in, tell me what's the point of it. I'd sure love to know. I would sure love to know, because I don't get it. I just don't understand. What do you accomplish? Nothing. Just like Jamie Otis. Well, this is his explanation. Jamie Otis, if you don't know, he's the guy that smashed Donald Trump's star on the Walk of Fame, Hollywood Walk of Fame. He tried to keep the star in one piece so he could sell it at like a charity auction, and all the money would go to help the poor 11 people that he groped, which most of them have been proven to be lying and not no factual basis behind any of this stuff. But yeah, but here's my point. I want to see what he's done for Bill. What I mean, I would be okay if he said, okay, yeah, I did. I did this, and I did this foundation. I raised all this money for Monica Lewinsky, and at least he had done something. But I don't think he's done anything for Bill. But he wants to raise money to help these people that were paid to lie. I mean, I don't get where this country is. I mean, I guess I never understood that. Okay, we won the NCAA Final Four championship game. Let's set cars on fire and flip them over. You know? I was talking to a friend last night, and we're like, guess what we're going to do, man? See, I'm being discriminated against because of my disability. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set a grocery store on fire. That will solve every problem. Well, I'm going to rob it first, then set it on fire. I got to loot it, you know, because that's going to help the discrimination. I mean, I don't understand. I don't get it. Maybe I'm not supposed to get it because it doesn't make sense because it's not right. I mean, I hate Hillary supporters, but when I drive by their signs, I just laugh when I see a sign in the yard. I'm like,
you know, that's the point. I haven't even seen a sign.
Oh, I've seen a couple in West Lafayette, but you notice how it says, I'm with her? I may like Trump, but I'm with the United States of America. I'm with God, you know. It's God and country. It's not Hillary Clinton and country or Hillary, you know, whatever. Actually, it'd be Hillary Clinton and Hillary Clinton because, you know, it's because you're with her, and since you really doesn't support God, you know. Because there's already, I think it's in Georgia, where there are preachers that they're asking them to have their sermons approved before they speak. That don't sound like a separation of church and state to me. That's what's going to happen. I guarantee you, Hillary Clinton gets in, mark my words, she's going to be like, okay, well, you're going to have to hand over your... I honestly think it'll get to the point in this country, if it keeps going the way it is, where pastors are going to have their sermons approved before they're read. I truly believe it. Not that I want it, but I truly believe it. And I haven't been too wrong about many things. I haven't been wrong about a lot of stuff. But everyone, even what was it, Barack Obama, like a couple weeks ago, Trump needs to, or like 3 or 4 weeks ago, Trump needs to stop whining about the rigged elections. And guess what? There's a guy that put a video up there, and he tries to vote for some Republican senator. And all it does is when he hits the R button for the Republican senator, it just brings up that no matter what he does, it keeps bringing up that he's voting for the Democrat. Proof. There's video, and I guess this is what they do. Like if they have, like, in some municipalities across this great land of America, they have what is called paper ballots, where you can write a paper. And I guess what they're doing is in the primaries, and some of these now, at the end of the thing, when no one's looking, they'll take people, like, especially in the primaries, when the voting is over, they'll go through and they'll take people that hadn't voted yet, and they'll write in Trump, they'll write in or whoever, you know, Clinton, 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 and they're stuffing the ballot boxes, rigging the elections. That's voter fraud. And they're getting caught doing it. And I hope whoever's in the videos, they find out who they are and they're, something happens to them. If that was happening for Trump, I'd be like, wait a minute here. then it probably just level the playing field, but still. It's not right. You have the right to vote for whoever you want to, and I support your right to vote for whoever you want to, but know who you're voting for, and do everything you can to ensure that you're voting for who you want to vote for, so it doesn't flip the vote. You know, that's what I try to do in this program. Show you what's going on. Wow, there's 11 women that supposedly groped, or Donald Trump groped, and there's about 75 million scandals that involve Hillary Clinton. And no one cares. You trust her to be our commander-in-chief when she doesn't tell the truth 99% of the time. If she was a reporter, I couldn't watch her because of her credibility. It's not trustworthy. Well, we landed in Bosnia under sniper fire, and we had to take cover and run really fast. And the video shows that she's out there waving hands, shaking, how you doing? She didn't. Oh, but, you know, I mean, that's trustworthy. If that was someone on NBC, they would have to be relieved of their, like, some of these journalists have. Point blank. She, you want her to protect us when she couldn't protect four people in Benghazi? The requests for more backup were turned down again and again and again. And you want her to lead us? God, no. And that's coming from the heart. I don't know where this free society came into play, where, you know, free. Like, should we arrest someone from voter fraud, for, like, voter fraud? Yes. If they're abusing welfare, should they get arrested? Yes. That's what happens when you have a free society where everything, don't worry, we'll just hand out stuff, it's free. And then people abuse it. Well, they can never take it off me because, see, I've got kids. And since I got kids, guess what? They can't take it away from me. So I'll make more money sitting on my butt. What's going to happen is we're starting to look like France, where at a time you could probably make more money being on welfare and on a government program than you could working. And eventually they had to change that because they couldn't afford to keep it up. And that's what's going to happen here. Every once in a while, just to remind myself, I watch all those videos where there's like 10 of them in a row. And it's like, no one's telling me my baby ain't going out food. I got but 20 cents on my food stamp card. My baby ain't going without eating. I'm not going to have that. Well, then do something about it. Yeah, do something. If I want to have something, like there's a guitar that replicates Jerry Garcia's, I'd love to have it. If I want it, I got to earn it. If I want to have food on the table, I got to pay for it. If I want to have a roof over my head, I got to do it. I got to work. I'm going to work 6 days a week, and I'm sick half of the time. But it's what I do to provide for my family. I'm not sitting there going, no, wait a minute, I ain't working. Where's my paycheck? Where's my assistance? Mm-mm. And, you think I'm going to have to get up and work 40 hours a week? Mm-mm. Someone's going to be paying for me to just lie around the house all day. I don't know what I'd do if I had to get off my feet and give up cooking or whatever because of my apathy. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to go. I don't know what I'd do. Yeah. I went through a really dark time when no wheat, no this, no that. I lost it. I won't lie to you. my viewers out there. I went through a dark time. My wife knows I lost it. And, you know, and what do I always get told? And what do I always tell you? God never offers an explanation. He'll just say he'll be there. And I trust in him. And she's like, no, you're just going to be one of those boisterous people that just gets the word out and helps people and just says, hey, it's okay. Everything's going to be fine. I don't understand. You know, I don't like Hillary Clinton, but you should have the right to vote for her, just like I should have the right to vote for Trump. I don't understand why they, I mean, it's getting to the point now where they have to rig the election to get their way because they can't, well, if they can't win, I mean, it's looking at the primaries, it's obvious Hillary Clinton couldn't win without help. She never denounced it. So now she's, to beat Donald Trump, she has to have help. So if you go to vote, very, 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 very carefully look to make sure that your vote doesn't get flipped. And it still could. When you hit accept, after you've gone through the review screen and everything, and it can, after the fact, flip it. I've heard of programs, and there's a guy that swore under oath that he goes, yeah, it'll flip the votes in the end, 51-49 in favor of whoever you want to have win. It don't matter. You'll vote for Trump, but the program will, at the end, switch it. Before, when they go to print out the results are going to come up with fictitious numbers, no matter what you vote for, no matter, and they'll have a program for everybody. I have so many of my friends like, am I watching a political advertisement campaign or am I watching the World Series? No, that's just your money getting flushed down the toilet because they got to spend billions of your tax dollars and money on political ads that probably can go to help people. That's just my thoughts, you know. It's like I was talking about this, I think, a year or two ago, you know. This country is really bad off, but there are people spending how many millions of dollars on Dorito commercials for the Super Bowl? Like, I mean, yeah, no. The Super Bowl, for me, I want to see the commercials. I want to see startup companies, new companies. I mean, like if I drink, I can't have it. But, like, someone's going to sit there and go, wow, guess what, man? I better start drinking Pepsi. I saw a commercial on TV during the Super Bowl. If you're 41 years old by now, you like Coke, you like Pepsi or Sierra Mist or whatever you drink, you know, you like cool cigarettes or Lucky Strike or whatever the heck you do, you have a deodorant that you like or you use. I don't know how anyone just can all of a sudden, I'm going to try that Old Spice deodorant now just because I saw that commercial on the Super Bowl. There might be one or two people that are, but I wouldn't think a majority of people would instantly switch what they drink. People aren't going to go out and buy Doritos just because of a Super Bowl commercial. I could be wrong, but, you know, I want to, that's why I like the old Super Bowl commercials when like Mac had, like, it was Apple at the time, they had a commercial and, you know, when it was like new and innovative companies. And I think there was one company last year that paid for like during an advertisement, the winner got to have their commercial on this during the Super Bowl, you know, like a startup company. And that was just like, that's what America's about, helping each other. What happened on 9/11? Hey, we'll take this office space and we can share it, you know, until you find another place, you know, everyone helped everyone. It's a thing I said at work when Thomas said, everyone's willing to help in the dish tank when we don't got a dishwasher. But if there is a dishwasher, they don't help. You know, why can't you help when there is a dishwasher? If you're gung-ho about helping out when there is no dishwasher, why can't you hop in there when there is one to help him out? Yeah. Nope.
Wow.
This I talked about last week. This was Sean Henney's question of the week. Excuse me. If Obamacare fails like it's projected it will Democrats push for a single-payer healthcare system? Comment on Facebook and Twitter and FoxNews.com and let me know what you think.
Wow.
I talked about that last week. As you know, and fans of the conversation know this, what I know to be true and what I believe, that it was never designed to work in the first place. It was designed to put a single-payer healthcare system in this country that no one would want, and that's the only way they could get it passed. That's what they've done. That's what they do. If you look back, like I've said before, that's how they got net neutrality passed. They tried to pass it with telecommunications acts, but it won't work. Well, how are we going to get a single-payer healthcare system in here? Easy. We'll put Obamacare in, it will fail, and then it will seem like the best thing since sliced bread. Well, same thing with how are we going to, they struggled with how to get a central bank in here because no one would want it, and they finally did through the Federal Reserve. Something Americans don't want, they'll find a way to get it in there. We're starting to be an overregulated state. I mean, I'm one of those people, give a kid a firecracker, let him have fun with it. Excuse me. And guess what? If something happens to him, he'll learn the hard way. Remember those, when you were a kid, those little easy bake ovens? They need those in every, screw the Stanford-Binet test, put those things in every kitchen in like kindergarten and first grade, and they have those little like play areas with the play kitchen. I'll just put that in there. Kid burns his hand one time, guess what? He'll never do it again. He'll learn. I'm living proof that at least in kitchens, you learn more by screwing up than you ever do doing it right. Disney Pixar supports failure 1,000,000% because if you aren't failing, you're not trying enough. You're not doing enough. They see failure as a success. Failure is a success because, okay, well, wow, you did it. Wow, you haven't failed. Well, how many times have you tried this? You need to go like 60 times. And how many times did Thomas Edison work on the light bulb before he got it right? A heck of a lot of times. More like a whole heck of a lot of times. But it's seen as a success. Now it's hard to get people to do anything. I don't want to work. Okay, I'm suing you because, when the light turned green, you sat there for 5 seconds and it made me late to work and then I lost my job. So, oh, I took a photo of your license plate. I mean, we're a society. I don't get it. You know, my ancestors came here. Here's $40. Good luck. Let's make something of ourselves. Let's be proud to be Americans. Now it's the exact opposite. Now everything American offends people that come here. Before it's like, I want to learn English. I want to learn your language. Mean world to me. You know, when my ancestors, my mom tells me stories of my ancestors that spoke Polish and Russian and Dutch and all this stuff, and they only spoke it in the house because they were ashamed to speak it out in public. Because you're an American, you were proud to be one. Now it's like, okay, excuse me, no one here speaks Spanish for her, and she's really pissed off. I mean, come on, hello. DMV, hello. She speaks Spanish. You're going to help her? You're going to get someone? And, you know, they would have told my grandparents, you speak English, you come back. You speak English, you come back. You don't speak English. Sorry, this test is in one language. I help you learn English, and maybe I'll learn some Dutch or Russian or Polish in return. I don't understand this. I'm in America, and what do you mean? No, you need to learn my language. I speak Yiddish. Okay. Will you all rise to Honorable Judge Thomas Smith providing this is case? So, ma'am, you're telling me that you're suing the defendant because they will not learn Yiddish and you are forced to speak English and you live in America? Oh, we got to wait on the translator because she doesn't. Okay, hold on, folks. We got to get a Yiddish translator in here. She's running late. I mean, that's where this country's headed. Don't worry, folks. Yeah, pretty much, but it's getting worse and worse. I've never heard of that, but I'm sure there's, you know, because I remember I went to the Indiana DMV and the lady went off because there was no one there that could help her with her, that spoke Spanish that could help her. I'm like, oh, hello, you're in America? It's great. I know a lot of French. And it's great that they know Spanish. And if they have to talk to someone that only knows Spanish, okay, but help them learn English. I've known people here 15 years that don't know Spanish. If I was in France for 15 years, I'd be way more fluent than I am now. I just don't have, I don't use it a lot, hardly, so I lose a lot because I don't use it, so. I need to get my books out and stuff and keep up on it, but I'm burning the candle at five ends, and, you know, marriage is four of them, and work's the other one, and I'm cleaning the house and all that. And it's the greatest gift in the world, though. But this is kind of breaking. I don't know if y'all heard this, but Mike Pence's plane had skidded off LaGuardia's New York airport into the grass, and one of the reporters that was on from Fox News said that it just seemed like they were hitting the brakes, and I think they just kind of never could get traction on that rainy surface and went off the road, off the runway. Everyone's safe, everyone's okay, but still, it's just one of those things that makes you thank God no one was hurt. I'm sure there's some liberal out there. I'm like, oh, the plane didn't explode and he died. Oh, dang it. Oh, man. I would never wish that for anybody. Well, I mean, in a way, I would love to see, you know, Hillary's plane go up in flames with Barack Obama and a crap load of people in it. But, you know, that's not really Christian, nor would we be that lucky. And this is kind of recent news. A Michigan town vows to ban Syrian refugees due to concerns about vetting. A Republican senator's neighborhood hit by an anti-GOP vandalism spree, you know, and all this stuff going on. This Michigan, it's the Board of Trustees at Waterford Township voted unanimously 7-0 Monday night in favor of a resolution that was stating that their township will not actively participate in refugee resettlement program until the program has been significantly reformed and until it has demonstrated that the townships of Oakland County have the capacity to absorb the refugees without diverting funds to needy residents or exposing their residents to unwanted security risks. They want to make sure that, because they ain't vetted. Who knows who they are? They're just coming in. We can't even vet the thousands that come across our border. We're going to vet these. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not PC, but you know what? All it takes is one of those Syrian refugees that want to kill us all and blow a bomb up and kill 1,000 people. And all those great and wonderful, nice and peaceful ones are meaningless.
The peaceful Nazis that killed the Jews.
Oh,
the peaceful
German,
I mean.
Yep, peaceful Germans. That's the problem. There's a lot of great Mexicans. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. Remember that.
Bring them in here.
But vet them. Why don't we try to make their place better so that they can go back? You know, hey, what a concept.
Obama's BlackBerry, his presidential highly secure BlackBerry.
That I guess these phones, I guess some of them you can have set up if you had the IT people know what you're doing, your phone. You could have it to where you can only accept calls from certain people. You can only get a text from certain people. Like if it doesn't, like they can program it to only, and if like these 10 people are the only people that can get through or call or do anything with it. Well, didn't Barack Obama say, I knew nothing about this Hillary using her private server and all this stuff, and guess what you find out? He was receiving emails from the private server. A server that he didn't know about until the media said something. I didn't know that she was using a private server or emails. But don't worry, folks. Of course he didn't know. He didn't know at all. But the phone that he had was able to accept her emails. And you had to be approved by him for any phone calls or messages to even be put onto the phone. You would have to get approval and he would have to okay you, and then the IT people would allow your phone to work with his so you could call him or receive texts or emails or anything. I don't get it, folks. Well, I guess there is a Clinton staffer, N-E-R-A, and she basically went off on Hillary Clinton for using her private server for, like, confidential emails. This is another email that is, these are piecing together a puzzle that's, well, what have I said all along, folks? When you go back to the gun running investigation, Eric Holter, he can't know what's going on because he'll be in trouble, but he had to know what's going on because he was running the operation. Same thing with Hillary Clinton. She can't know what the C means because she'll be in trouble, but she had to know what the C meant, classified documents, because she was the Secretary of State. It'd be like going to Wendy's and watching the grill video and learning the four-corner press procedure and learning how to flip the burgers and salt them and do all that stuff. And then after working there 3 years, I don't know how to, I don't I don't know this. I don't know what that means. I don't know what. You don't know what the four-corner press procedure means when you've been doing it for 4 years? I don't know anything. No. She knows what she knew what it she knew what that was. She just can't say it because she'd be in trouble. More and more emails they're finding out are showing that she knew what was going on. Barack Obama knew about that private server. They tried to wipe it out before it could get found out, but too late. But don't worry, we got the wonderful Obama FBI. They will put you in prison no matter what you've done, but if you're someone that's on the good side, if you're a progressive George Soros type socialist, communist, liberal, don't worry, they'll get you off. They won't indict you. He'll threaten them. You know, where do we live? North Korea or something? We have a nation of laws for a reason. You follow the laws. You break the laws, you should get in trouble. It shouldn't be, oh, well, because I'm Hillary Clinton, I get away with it or whatever. I plead the fifth. If Hillary Clinton pleaded the fifth, I'm like, wow, you can count that high? Dang. Wow, you're smarter than I thought you were. I mean, that's just me. I guess when I see a Hillary thing in the yard, a banner, a flag, anything, I'm with her. I don't know how anyone can. That's why I guess a lot of people want Trump, because he's not a politician. He hasn't been in government. So if we get screwed by him, okay, we tried someone that wasn't a politician. He seems as someone that, like, this is what I believe. This is what's worked to make my business successful. I'm going to try that same model with the nation and see if that works. You know, what did Mike Pence say? I don't care who you vote for. Get out there and vote. Get on your knees and pray. This nation needs it. I know with Mike Pence and Donald Trump in the White House, I won't have to worry about my freedom of religion. Not that I worry about it now, because, I mean, if I'm going to, I will pray where I want to. Because without God, I don't know where I'd be. I'd be in like a tailspin. But the vetting process, but like as I get back to the Syrian refugees, they should have the right. You know, hey. Okay, imagine if they say, okay, we're going to close down this mental institution. We're just going to release these mentally sick people out into the streets. Shouldn't you have the right to say, hey, wait a minute here. Do we want them in the street? Why are they, can they go somewhere else? You know, you should have some say about the people that live in your neighborhood. That's why they have town hall meetings. Okay, here we're at the Board of Trustees because we have a problem because they want to build an institution over here that's going to house a bunch of sexual predators, and that's going to be like really close to where I live. And shouldn't you have the right to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm against this. I don't want this. You know, we got a petition. You know, if you can guarantee that they can't get out, that they're castrated or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, then okay. You know, that town should have the right to say, hey, no, we don't want these people. They're not vetted properly. We can't guarantee that one of those people is not going to have a bomb and try to kill us. They can't guarantee you that. Don't worry, folks. It's all good. You know, we're going to help out all these Syrian refugees when we got tons of homeless vets. Excuse me, sir. You're going to have to wait in line. These Syrian refugees get first. No. I feel like these Syrian refugees are going to be taking precedence over our own citizens. Oh, you must be racist because you don't want these Syrian refugees. Okay, well then, if that's the case, well then, we're gonna use the technology to find out where you live, and we're gonna have you house them. They're gonna live with you if you're so keen on having these people here. When we have people in our own country that are doing without, how can we give to these refugees when we can't even afford to give to our own vets, people who died for this country? I don't get it. Well, I feel like we're going back to Vietnam, you know? Okay, you go fight for the country, and then we're going to come back and crap on you. You know, that's why I like Trump. He wants to vet people. He has no problem with Mexicans. He just wants to ensure that you come into this country legally, that you do it the right way, so that you're paying taxes like everyone else. I don't have a problem with Mexicans. It's the ones that are using someone else's name as a security number, and that's the problem I have. Trust me, folks, I've worked in the restaurant business since I'm 41, and I've been in there since I was about 16, and I cannot tell you how many times I've seen the police at the door. I'm looking for so-and-so. Well, he's my dishwasher. No, I'm him. He's using my name, my social security card. I've seen it too many times to count. Oh, but don't worry. We don't need a wall. Remember, folks, Bill Clinton said we're a nation of laws, but we're also a nation of immigrants at the same time. You know, if we don't build that wall, we might as well just not have a border at all and just let anyone in. We might as well just give everyone in the world, you know, grant everyone in the world U.S. citizenship. What difference does it make at this point if we grant everyone in the world U.S. citizenship? I mean, that way we can't be racist to anybody. Why not just help everyone in the world? Why not? We can't even... Oh, we won't help our vets or any of our natural-born U.S. citizens, but we'll help everyone else in this world. You know, I'm racist because I don't want to bring in these Syrian refugees, but then again, where are we going to get the money to help these Syrian refugees? How are we going to vet these people? And, you know, there's people committing suicide, vets dying because they're not even getting the treatment. But these Syrian refugees, don't worry, we're going to put them up in apartments and houses. And I think we need to move all the Syrian refugees to Democrat areas, you know, like South Chicago. Yeah. Why not? Just my 2 cents. You know, we need to put our country first, our people first. I'm not against refugees. I'm not against helping people. I'm not against Mexicans. Come here legally. When someone's waiting 7 years to come through the door legally and you just come across the border, I'm legal now. Oh, you got 2 years to go before you're a real citizen. I'm already one. I just crossed the border, man. How is that fair? Not fair to anyone. But that's what but who cares as long as they'll vote Democrat? You know, it's just hard. I don't know how people don't see through the red tape that Democrats are just using you for your vote. They don't care about you. I don't know how they can't see that. Because if they did, South Chicago, that's mainly Democrat and mainly Black, would be doing very well because Barack Obama would have helped out his people. Yeah, nice thought.
That's, if that isn't proof enough that they don't care about you, I don't know what is.
Donald Trump is the only one that I've heard of that's gone to Detroit and said, okay, automakers, here you go. There's going to be a 35% tariff on every car that comes back into this country. No one's going to buy a car if they're going to have to pay a tariff to bring a car back. Okay, if I have to add, let's say, $5,000 onto a car because that's what the tariff is to bring this, to have this car made in Mexico, no one's going to buy it. And are you going to sit there and are you going to eat that tariff? Are you going to pay for it and eat the cost so that we don't have to pay for it? No, you're not. And the people are applauding him because he's standing up for American jobs and American workers. Mike Moore actually talked about what Donald Trump was doing and all this stuff, and I don't know what to think because I can't stand the guy. But everything, I agree with everything he said. So it's almost like, wait a minute here. Are you finally getting the light bulb in your head to go off to saying, hey, maybe he's got an idea to make America, maybe what he's saying is making sense? Because I think what you saw there is him putting his words where his mouth is and vice versa. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You tell me if people have to pay, let's say, another $3,000 on top of the car price because they have to pay for the tariff to bring the car back into the country. I don't think they're going to pay that. And but that's what I'm going to impose, you know. Well, you bring, if you want the jobs to stay here, go ahead. If not, wow. Got about 11 minutes left in the program, and I really want to thank you all for tuning in, no matter where you're at. I brought up this story. I wanted to talk about this because, one, I'm a chef in my day job. And second of all, Indiana and Missouri are the two pickiest states. And we get test marketed a lot. And McDonald's, back in the day when I worked there, they did the face-to-face. Instead of you going up and you go up to that little microphone, thank you for calling Whataburger. Can I take your order, please? What's a Whataburger? I'm sure when you're done eating it, you'll say, wow, what a burger. Okay, can I get two of those with cheese and a large fry and a Coke? I'm sure we don't serve Coke, we serve Pepsi. Is that okay? Yeah, I'll take a Pepsi. Instead of going through that little microphone, you actually face-to-face with the customer because they thought, you know, more personalized, you know. And if we can, and if it works in Indiana and Missouri, it'll work anywhere. But as you heard in the beginning, oh dear, Arby's has a venison burger they're going to test market. And I've heard in there's two counties in Michigan where they're going to test market at several Arby's to see what they think about it. And I think there's going to be some in a couple other places because they think that the deer hunters would really go for it because they have this philosophy where we have the meat and they want to be known for really quality meat. One of the best fast food chains ever, and I think the best one out there, is Wendy's. And here's why. Dave Thomas had an idea that when he started his restaurant after selling his KFC franchises and going off on his own, he wanted to produce the best burger in the business. And when you watch the Grill Skills video, he's on there and he goes, this is the four, we're going to teach you the four corner press procedure. And we salt it like this and we press it like this so it hangs over the bun and it makes it more tender and juicier and all this. And he always wanted to serve the best meat he could, the best bread he could, the best everything. He wanted the best fries, the best. Okay, imagine you're in high school and you're impressing your girl and you want to make her a burger or you want to make her like pasta and you want to make her, you know, treat every guest like you want to be, like you're making this for them, like your girlfriend. And recently they said, you know, when we sit down, we go, what would Dave Thomas do? Because he got us here. And they were, last I knew, they were second. They were, that's surpassed Burger King. And now everyone is trying to copycat Wendy's and try to do all these innovative things. And Wendy's was first in doing all these fresh salads and all these really nice garden things and really healthy stuff. And they did a baked potato and they were innovative. And Arby's has this slogan, you know, we have the meats, and I think they're going out of their way to do all kinds of, they're going after the demographic that's like, okay, you mean I'm actually gonna, you know, I don't want the lettuce, I don't want veggies, I want buns with meat in it. I want 25 different kinds of meat. I want the thing dipped in lard and deep fried, and there you go. And I want a hickory smoked after it's been fried. You know, they're going after that demographic. And I think it's, I'm a vegetarian, but I look at it from a chef's point of view that I think everyone's trying to get the leg up. It's like Michelin starred restaurants. You know, if you kept something on the menu, it's old hat. You got to be thinking about new things. I mean, there was a chef in Germany that he made this. He took like whipped cream and sugar and nutmeg and stuff, and he put it in like a whipped cream container. And what he did was he stuffed it in a water balloon, tied it off, and then they put it in liquid nitrogen and they spin it until it freezes. And then they rip off the balloon, the rubber part, and then it's a dessert, and they do like three different flavors. And they go out, I mean, I saw a restaurant where they burn leaves and they put it in a concealed container right before they serve the dish. They lift up the container and you get the smoke of the leaves and some of the wood and branches, they're trying to get every sense. So you're smelling along with all this stuff. And it was just really cool. And I don't know if it's going to actually I don't know where they're going to get enough venison to do it full nationwide. Because I don't think there's any like venison farms where they like raise it mass producedly. But it could be something where if it does work out, they could do it like a McRib, where it's like, you know, this is the fall seasonal menu item. I can see that happening. So I just thought I would bring that out. That's kind of something cool. And I want to get into a little bit of the League Cup action. As yesterday, Manchester United and Man City played in a derby. It wasn't an English Premier League derby. It was a League Cup derby. And Manchester United, in the elimination round, went on and they defeated Man City 1-0. And I saw the game off and on my phone. I was listening. I was reading all the stats and all the stuff. And because I have a thing where like when commentators say stuff, you can read what they're saying and stuff. You can't hear anything. Because I used to be able to listen to it all the time at work on different apps. And now they all say, it is not available in your area due to contractual obligations. So I can't listen to it anymore, like at work or whatever. But it's one of those things that we're sitting there and I'm like, okay. Yay, we won, but then I just got this back in my throat, gut, making me want to throw up. And I think I've been kind of feeling nauseated because of the fact that Jose Mourinho is basically told Wayne Rooney, okay, good luck. And I talked about this on Tuesday, you know, if you want first play action, it's not going to be United, goodbye. And that's just, to me, I don't know, that's just... And then a bunch of people like, hey, Everton will take him back because that's where it started. I'm like, well, let me see here. Now that there's a supposed mole, I don't know what to think. But in the beginning, it's like, okay, when they took him out that one game, they did great. What happened when they took him out the next game? It didn't. They got skunked. So it didn't matter if he's there or not. He's a great player. He's got good talent. He's been with the club. I mean, I guess it'd be kind of like saying, okay, well, hey, you've been here for a long time, but we got a new manager and we don't want you. Sorry, Ryan Giggs, you're gone. I mean, give the man respect. He should have some say being at the club as long as he has. But I mean, that'd be hard being there 10 years or 11 years or so and being like, okay, sorry, see ya. Time to gotta go somewhere else. I don't know. To me, it's just, I've never been a big fan, as you all know, of Jose Mourinho, and this is not making me like him anymore. It's not like he's seen the end of his rope. I mean, what would Rooney play about 2 more years, maybe, and then go into the sunset, spend time with his family, or maybe, you know, help out another club or even United or whatever the case may be, if warranted. It's just, I don't know, it's just, there's so much going on in the Premier League. It's just crazy with all these teams that haven't been up at the top, and Jose Mourinho is like adamant that he wants to contend for the title and all this, and he is just, he's a Bob Knight. He's very, it's a my way or the highway, and even, I mean, if we were to win the English Premier League at the end of the season, let's just say, it's not like I'm going to go, yay, thank God. You know, I'll be like, I'll be happy for the team, but I still won't really have that. I don't know if it would take a lot for me to say, hey, to where I would get respect for Jose Mourinho. I just don't really care for him. And now that he wants to get rid of Wayne Rooney, a really good, dedicated player that knows this team, knows the system, knows the ins and outs of the club, he's someone that'd be like, okay, you know, wait until you get your feet wet. He's going to take you around. Got 90 seconds left. You know, he's that guy that, okay, he's the senior guy. I'm going to hook him up with a young guy like Rashford, and he's going to help you. You know, he's going to show you the ropes until you know. I mean, I hope we end up doing very well in the Premier League. I hope we end up winning, you know. February is when we're going to see how all the teams stand, you know. Because there are a lot of teams that start out great and tank, and others that tank that end up doing very well, so. With about 40 seconds left, I just want to remind all my listeners, get out there, get educated, know who you can vote for, know who you're voting for. Doesn't matter who you vote for, just know who you vote for and what they stand for. And double check your voting machines to make sure that if you vote for Clinton, it goes to Clinton. If you vote for Trump, it's not flipping your vote. And that's about all the time I have, folks. So and with the firm reliance and the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pleasure each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next week, good night and goodbye.